And the only thing that I know I have said this before, is that God is sovereign. I don't know why people have to lose loved ones. I don't know why there are children that are hungry and mistreated, and I don't understand it all. I don't get it. I don't understand why we have to go through some of the things that we have to go through. But God is sovereign and God is faithful. And there's a line in this song that says, "Faithful you have been and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that is why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips." Can we worship as we sing this song this morning? It's going to take a second because I forgot to switch my and add my second. There we go.
Solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. 'Cause faithful you have been.
Are you Lord? praise him. Thank you, Jesus. You are awesome, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Will cry, these bones will sing. Great. presence of the Lord in this place right now. We can all stand at this time and just give God his honor that it is due. If it's a shout, give him a shout. If it's a hand clap, give him a hand clap. If it's a raised hand, give him a raised hand. Lord, you're worthy, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you to the praise singers and musicians. They are like rolling out this runner like they do for a wedding. Before you see the bride coming down, it's the bridegroom. They're just like laying this runner out. When they prepare and they sing and they lead in worship, I'm so thankful for what they're doing here in this place. At this time, you can be seated for a moment. We're going to ask the ushers to come. And today is Bread Sunday. And we're going to have them come forward with their offering plates. We're going to have them set the offering plates down just for a moment. And if there's anybody who's kept up with their bread reading, we'd like them to stand. And we're going to have the ushers hand out the bread today. Give them a hand for their faithfulness. And if we could all stand at this time, we're going to take the offering. And we're going to ask Brother Alex, would you pray for the offering this morning? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. My, what a presence of the Lord in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jubilee, I got the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord. Why don't you lift your voice? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My, my, my. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you for standing. You may be seated if you can, and if you can't, that's all right, too. I was thinking as we were singing the song earlier, the lyrics that were repeated in the song is simply, "You will be praised." As I was singing that, a resolve began to well up in my spirit, and I looked heavenwards and I said, I know we were singing the song and it was the lyrics, but I looked around at people praising, and I thought to myself, Lord, even if they stop praising, you will be praised. Because I'm going to praise you. Lord, you will be praised. If I'm the last person lifting my hands, Lord, you will be praised. I will lift my voice. I will lift my hands. And Lord, you will be praised. Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is so good to be here in the house of the Lord. We have something we want to do here. And I know it's kind of surprised them a little bit. I want Colin. Could you make your way up here on the platform, bud? And your mom can join you because I know she wants to say thank you. And I'm going to allow her to tell you what she has done in regards to what's taking place after service this morning. And so while I am presenting to Colin his baptismal certificate for taking him down in the presence, come on, you can come on up. It's all right. You can get the cameras out. That's all right. And while they're taking pictures, Mama, I'm gonna let you say something and tell everybody what you've done in celebration and what you've prepared for after service this morning.
Praise God. You know, I give God all the honor and glory. Praise to the Most High. You know, I've been praying for, you know, my children to serve God. I've been praying forever for my family, for me and my entire house to serve the Lord. And I have one daughter that baptized, and I have another one that is on her way. But to me, when I go back to the prodigal son, even though it doesn't relate, but he, you know, he cooked a big lamb and he prepared all this food because he was celebrating that his son has returned. But today my son take a closer step with God. And, you know, a couple weeks ago we celebrated when the boys got their degree. And it's all good and well, but I know too well, their high school diploma, but I know too well no high school diploma, no degree is going to get you to heaven. And yes, we did. We did have a great celebration for that. But as I was saying to my family and Bruce, my fiance, as I was saying to him, my greatest joy is not in getting married or getting anything else more than seeing my entire family take this step and go down in water baptism. And I said to him, I said, you may not, don't do it for me, but do it for God, right? Because I cannot save you, but God will, right? I even said to him, you know what? You want to make me happy? You just follow God, you know? And if I could go a bit further, Pastor, you know, I had this big situation that recently with the cops. And, you know, I was seeking for answers. And the brother, I don't know your name, but I know he's my brother in the church. He gave me a sermon where he testified. And even though I asked many people, from the minute I start listening to it, I got my answers. I want to praise God. Because, I was saying that, must God bear that cross alone? Then I went on to think that they spit on God, they stone him, they accuse him, they said all manner of things against him. And he is God. He could have changed that. He did that for us, to bear all our sins and pain and to give us a new life. But, and today I am in my little situation and all I'm thinking about is self. You know, myself, rather than thinking that, you know, my kids are looking at me and the way in which I'm handling this situation. And rather than being annoyed and going to court to fight it, I just want to thank God that I have seen it in a different way. I want to thank him because he gave me the wisdom for understanding this is not the way. He walked this face of the earth, and he have done things so that we would follow him in return. And then I have to show my kids that this is the way we must go, humble. Because you know what? God is going to bless us 10 times to that. So I just want to thank God for everything. And thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity because it was weighing on my chest. Thank you.
And they have prepared a meal. And if you have had any of her cooking, and I have, so I can attest, you do not want to miss it. It will be available downstairs after church. And so I may be able to be a little bit more short-winded than usual. I'm kidding. But we are looking forward to that fellowship together. All are invited, and we want you to join us downstairs in their way of saying thank you and celebrating the baptism of Colin. So wonderful. I would also say this. And I got a text earlier in this week from Ellie Campbell, who is a friend acquaintance. She came here for some time, and she has been going through Bible study with Sister Sue Ann. And she texted me earlier in the week, and I don't have the liberty to discuss the details, but her situation is a little bit different in that there are those in her life that are not in favor of her making steps in this direction. But through the Bible study, she has come to her revelation, the revelation of her need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so she texts me, and there was a date that worked with some extenuating circumstances, and I told her that we would be ready and prepared, and Lord willing, here in 2 weeks from today, we are going to take Sister Ellie Campbell down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And I would also add to that and say this, and you know that as a church family, we celebrate these things and we often will post them on Facebook and social media and that sort of stuff. But I would ask you as pastor, in understanding that we are dealing with a sensitive situation in her life, please refrain from doing that. She is making a step of faith, and she is doing this with the utmost courage, and I applaud her for doing so. But understand that there are others in her life that are not supportive of this decision, and I don't want us to cause her any undue confrontation or contention in her life. But we will gladly and delightfully take her down in the precious name of Jesus Christ as she is requesting, and we're looking forward to that. And I want you to pray in the meantime, between now and then, that nothing happens, the enemy doesn't allow, it doesn't get any foothold and gain any ground, and that she's able to follow through, and we're able to take her down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind, why don't you stand? Acts chapter number 26, begin reading in verse number 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, wherefore, or before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Then Paul, addressing King Agrippa, said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost, everybody say almost. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost, everybody say almost, and altogether, everybody say altogether, such as I am, except these bonds. King Agrippa, listening to the words that Paul said, Paul addressing him, his knowledge, his faith, King Agrippa retorts to Paul and says, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul's reply is, I would to God that not thou only, but all those that hear me this day were almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. The help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject, almost and altogether. Almost and all together. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we're thankful for your presence in this place here this morning. God, I thank you for the awesome privilege I have to stand before these precious people and preach your eternal word. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, I pray that you would anoint me with nothing but a vessel, God, an oracle of your choosing to impart into your people what you have placed inside my spirit. God, that we would all be fed and nourished from on high. God, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and lives of the individuals here and attached to this church. We love you. We praise you. Thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your precious name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Almost and altogether. In my opinion, one of the most disappointing words in all of the English language is almost. They almost made it. They almost came through. They almost got the victory. They almost won the fight. They almost overcame. As if success was within sight, but somehow the mark was missed. What a sad epitaph for coming close to something but falling short. Simply almost. I remember growing up and hearing the old timers retort when someone would say almost and they would come back and say, well, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. See, the definition of almost is simply not quite or very nearly. Almost.
not quite, very nearly. I know and I believe the old adage that it is better to have tried and failed than to have never tried at all. But when almost succeeding is in the mix, it seems so much more bitter. When the attempt fell just short, or success seemed like it was right there, but it just didn't happen, the almost seems to be so much more bitter. For the agony of defeat is greater when the taste of winning is on the tongue, but never makes it to the mouth. Almost. So we see phrases like, second place is the first loser. Thus denoting and succinctly saying how disappointing almost actually is. Almost. In this setting, Paul is standing at Caesarea and he is standing before King Agrippa. The Bible tells us that he has already said and he has already come before Festus and he has appealed to Caesar. And now King Agrippa, and the Bible says Bernice are there and they have audience and they hear about Paul, this man that the Jews want dead. And so they hear about this Jew, this Paul, and so King Agrippa asks if he could have audience with Paul, and Festus says, well, sure, well, let's have a meeting and get together. And so Paul stands before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa tells him, go ahead, you can speak freely. Say whatever you need to say. You have my attention. You are able to tell me what you would like to tell me. And so Paul gives his testimony. Paul explains the road that has led him to where he is standing before King Agrippa. He talks about his experience on the road to Damascus. He talks about how that in his youth he was zealous and he desired to persecute the church which he now and the Jesus which he now preaches. He says all this and he gives his testimony, and in this short time or short sermon you would see that Paul is expressing, and he's using the time afforded to him to tell King Agrippa his experiences and his encounters and give his testimony. King Agrippa, hearing these words, Paul appealing to his knowledge, Paul says, I know that you have knowledge of the Jews. I know that you believe the prophets. I know that in your background and in your understanding, this is not something new to you, King Agrippa. You know this thing was not done in a corner. What happened with Jesus was not something that was swept under the rug. You know about it. You've heard about it. In this dialogue with King Agrippa, King Agrippa looks back at Paul and in my opinion makes a very sad statement. For he says, almost thou persuadest me to be Christian. I've heard your testimony. And most of it I understand. I hear your words and your experience and I get most of it, Paul. Your sincerity and the way in which you say these things, it appeals to most of me, Paul, but not all of me. It's just almost. It's very nearly or not quite. I begin to think how sad. How many I have had the opportunity to stand before and preach and teach and try to lead to God. And it's as if they may not say it with their mouth, but they certainly say it in their actions. And maybe there's a response for a little while. And maybe it seems as though they're going to turn and they're going to follow after God. But before long, it's as if their body language and their lifestyle says, almost. I almost made that decision, preacher. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me, I almost came to church the other day. How many times I've talked with people, I almost went to the altar. I almost received the Holy Ghost. I almost was baptized, Pastor. I almost. Please please understand my heart in this. And please know that when it comes to your salvation, and when it comes to my salvation, almost is not sufficient. Almost doesn't make the grade. I'm sorry, King Agrippa, but I don't agree with your statement. When you look back at Paul and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I almost respond as if I should. I almost. Might I ask this, even in relation to our society, even in relation to how we are raising our kids nowadays, when did almost start becoming awarded? I'll say that again. When did almost start becoming awarded? See, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run! That you may obtain. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not interested in a participation award. I'm not interested in almost. Almost doesn't appeal to me. I'm sorry, but when it comes to living for God, when it comes to making heaven my home, I'm not in it just for a participation award. I want to make it. Almost is not good enough. There are some things I understand are so serious and so important and so essential that almost doesn't make the grade. See, almost won't work when it comes to my marriage. We almost made it, Pastor. Almost won't make it in regards to my family. Well, most of them made it. No, I want all of them to make it. There are some things so significant, and there are some things so special, and there are some things so essential that almost is not what I'm in it for. I'm in it for all together. I'm in it for completely and totally. I'm not in it for almost. I'm in it for all together. See, I did not start this race to drop out before reaching the desired destination. How many times have we heard it said and sung, I've come too far to turn back now. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm certainly not where I was. And I'm still planning on going. And when it comes to the end game, almost is not going to make it for me. How sad it may be for some of those that almost came that one last time. Almost came to the altar and decided to turn their life around. How sad it's going to be if for eternity they've got to think to themselves, I almost made it. Almost made that decision to do what God was leading me to do. I almost went ahead and stepped forward in faith and said, I may not understand it all, but I don't want to be on this side. I don't want to be there where I almost made it. No, I want to be where it's all together with everything and every part of me. I know I haven't made it yet, but guess what? I'm still progressing and I'm still pressing. See, might I say this, don't settle for almost when altogether is available. Don't settle for almost when altogether is available. So when King Agrippa looked at Paul and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, the Apostle Paul looked back and said, oh, King Agrippa, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day, were almost and altogether even as I. See what the Apostle Paul is simply trying to say, and if you understand the history, you understand that one of the reasons why the Jews wanted him dead so bad is that he used to be one of them. He used to be a persecutor of the way they called heresy. He used to be one who went into houses and led women and children captive and took them back to Jerusalem to be persecuted because they believed in this man called Jesus, because they preached and they taught in the name of Jesus. You see, Paul used to be one of them, and he was zealous, and he was one that persecuted the church with much fervor. He was one who was on their side for a time. Almost had him. They almost had him completely convinced that what he was doing was right. But one day, on the road to Damascus, as he's riding a donkey, a bright light shines and it knocks him off the donkey, and he looks into heaven and says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice comes back, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." How long are you going to kick against the pricks, Paul? How long are you? You're almost all the way to the other side, but I've come in the nick of time. I've come to save you from yourself, Paul. And after that experience and that encounter, we understand that Ananias comes and lays his hands upon him, and the scales fall from his eyes wherein he was blinded, and he sees. And now where he was almost like them, he now becomes altogether a follower of Jesus. Wow. Persecuted the church with much fervor, and why he did all of those things when he was almost one of them, now he's altogether sold out to God. Now he's totally and completely consumed with following this way called Christianity, with following Jesus, and every opportunity he has and every chance he gets to speak, he tells about his experience. And he preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, might I say this? Almost has to progress into altogether. I refuse to stay at almost. I will press until it becomes altogether. I draw your attention to Ephesians 4. 11 through 15, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, everybody say all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, into all, everybody say all, all things, which is the head, even Christ. You want to know why? There's apostles, and there's pastors, and there's evangelists, and there's teachers. You want to know why? There's what we call the fivefold ministry, so it helps you get from almost to altogether. So it helps us come together in the unity of faith, where I'm not almost a Christian, but I'm altogether a Christian, where you and me, not most of us, but all of us are serving the Lord. We are all together. I said it before, I'll say it again. Listen, I'm not interested in just most of you making heaven your home. I do what I do, and I preach how I preach, and I put it out there, and I'm passionate about what I do, because almost is not good enough. I don't want just most of you to make heaven your home. I want all of you to make heaven your home, because the Bible tells me I'm going to have to stand and give an account, that I may do it with joy, that I may be able to stand before God and say, God, I did everything within my power to get him from almost to all together. See, Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all law, prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, the realization is this. If I try to do this on my own, it's quite probable that I almost make it. But you see, if I do this all together, if I do this with you, my brother, and you, my sister, the probability increases so much more, so substantially, that together, if we learn how to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we learn how to love each other as we love ourselves, we start progressing from almost to all together. We're in this thing together, you and me. And so that's why I want everybody to receive what I've received. I want everybody to understand what I understand. I want everybody to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. I want everybody, not just most, I want all. I don't want not quite or very nearly. I want completely or totally. I'm not interested in almost. I'm interested in altogether. And the only, catch this, the only interest I ever have in almost is if it's progressing to all together. The only interest I have in almost is if that individual is still pressing to be all together. That they're still saying within themselves, Paul said this in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Might I say it this way, I may not apprehend it yet, and in totality it may be an almost, but guess what, I'm pressing for all together. I'm pressing for every part of me. I absolutely love the response of Peter. Jesus, after the, what we commonly call the Last Supper, the Bible says he rises from supper and he girdeth himself with a towel. And he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter says, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. Peter understood the significance of what Jesus was doing. Jesus, being his master, was humbling himself and washing the feet of the servant. He said, no, Lord, you're not washing my feet. You're not doing that. You're my master and I'm your servant. It's the other way around. I wash your feet. You don't wash my feet. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, if I wash not, you have no part with me. Peter, I wash not. You don't have any part with me. And I love the response. For Peter says, well then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, head, all of me. If it's about having part with you, Jesus, don't stop at the feet. All of me. Every bit of me. I'm not interested in just getting my feet wet in this stuff. I'm not interested in just testing the shallow end of the pool. No. I'm interested in getting in over my head, rather where the river of the Holy Ghost sweeps me along, and I have no traction of my own, but I am completely caught in the current. I'm not almost. I'm altogether enveloped in the love of Jesus Christ, and those things that I do not of my own. It's only through the power of Jesus Christ. See, I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. What are you saying, Pastor? Simply this. Don't settle for almost. Don't stop short. Become content or satisfied with almost. make it all together. Press forward in faith. It's not required that you understand everything. It's just required that you respond in faith, that you believe. Because I for one, I was thinking earlier, I wish I had more opportunity to be in services with my children where I'm not occupied doing other things. Please don't get me wrong. I don't begrudge preaching or being involved in music or playing, but I want my children to see and witness, and I want them to raise their hands like Daddy raises his hands and lift their voice like Daddy lifts his voice, because I'm not okay with almost in their life. I don't ever want it to be said that his children almost stayed in church. Sorry. Much like what Sister Michelle said earlier, no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. It's no greater joy than to see them not almost living for God, altogether living for God. So I want to do everything that I can do to have them progress from almost to altogether. Pastor, I brought them all, every service I could, and they almost made it. Please understand, that's not something you should be comfortable with. No, I want all together. And Lord, when it comes to my life, Lord, don't let my response be like that of King Agrippa. Almost, you persuade me. Lord, I wanted to be all together. I'm glad that when I was 21 years of age and the Lord was pulling me to an altar at a camp meeting, I'm glad I didn't almost go. I'm so thankful that though there was such resistance in my flesh and though carnality battled the choice that I made, I'm glad I didn't almost get up from my chair. But I'm glad I altogether got up and made my way down the aisle and came to an altar. I'm so glad that I didn't almost go all the way to the front, but I made my decision and I went all the way and said, here I am, God. All of me, take all of me. Take my hands, take my feet. But I don't want to almost make it. I want to all together make it. I want every part of me, God, till I come to the fullness, the stature of Christ. Almost is only okay if it's progressing to all together. Don't stay at almost. Don't be content with almost. Make it all together. All over this house, why don't you lift your hands if you feel comfortable doing so? I almost lifted my hands in that service this morning. God, don't let it be an almost. Why don't you all together lift your hands toward heaven and say, Lord, I don't want to fall on the almost side. I want to be all together. These altars are open. Don't leave here thinking I almost made my way to the front. You can't progress from almost to all together. It's simply a choice.
Yeah.
Jesus, God. Oh, Lord, I lift my hands in faith, God. I don't want to almost make it, God. I want to all together. All is what you ask of me. I will not withhold. Here I am, Jesus. All of me, God. My mind, my heart, Lord, take all of me, Jesus. Here I am, God. All of me, Jesus. I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's
it. Why don't you find somebody? Hey, let's do this all together. I don't want you to almost make it. I don't want me to almost make it. I want us to all together make heaven our home. You got my support, brother. You have my support, sister. My sacrifice is less than giving you my very best. Help me remember Calvary's cross.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the courage to come forward, God. Thank you for the response to your word, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. My sacrifice is less than giving you my very best.
Take all of me, Jesus. Take all of me, Jesus. Lord, I come before you in repentance, God, knowing God, I can't do it on my own. Lord, if I try by myself, the best I can do is almost. Lord, I need you. I need your spirit inside of me, God. I need to be all together, God. In you and you in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, just respond.
Presence of the Lord is in this place. Just respond. Just reach out.
Holy Spirit, come.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, bless in this place.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Enjoy the journey. It's all together lovely. Enjoy the journey.
My heart to you.
Where you lead me, Lord, I follow. I'll go, Jesus.
I yield my
Lord, that I would love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything within me. God, I withhold nothing, God. Withhold nothing.
I give my heart to you.
Oh,
place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one.
For your word. Thank you, God, that your spirit challenges us, convicts us, so that we are not content with almost. We press forward to all together, totally, completely. Thank you, God. We ask your blessing upon the food that we're about to partake of. Thank you that we celebrate as a family. A new one added. Your name being applied. We thank you. We worship you. We praise you. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. We certainly invite you downstairs to eat a meal with us. Celebrate with us as a family. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.